Hello again and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Scott Fitzsimmons, and in studio today we have got Jody Yathan, Interim Director of Integrated Primary Health Services with the Saskatchewan Health Authority. Great to have you here this morning. How are you doing on this this fine winter morning?
Good morning. Good. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. We learn so much when we get a chance to talk with the representatives from the Sask Health Authority about many different topics, because this is such a vast area that we can all be learning from. And with you, you're here to talk about stroke, because this is something that touches many people's lives, some closer than others, but it definitely is something that is front and center. Now, first off, for people that don't know, what is a stroke?
Okay, so a stroke is an event that happens in the brain when the blood stops flowing to any part of the brain, and it damages or kills the brain cells. So you can have what's called a mini stroke, or a TIA, as many people have heard.
Yep.
And that's caused by a small clot that will temporarily block an artery and temporarily stops the blood flow.
Yeah.
And you may have symptoms for 15 minutes to up to an hour, or even as long as 24 hours, but most commonly they're less than an hour.
Yeah.
And then the clot moves on, somehow gets dislodged again, and then the blood flow returns and your symptoms go away. However, that's an important warning. That's something more serious. A full stroke may occur in the future.
Yeah.
Whereas an actual stroke, the official term is a cerebrovascular accident, happens when the blood stops permanently, unless there's some type of intervention, the clot-busting drug or a surgical intervention.
Yeah.
It can be in the form of a clot in the vessel, or it can actually be where the vessel breaks and it bleeds.
Mm.
So again, because your blood cells need oxygen, or your brain cells need oxygen to survive, and your blood carries the oxygen. If the blood flow is interrupted, then your brain cells do not get that oxygen, so then they can die. So depending on the area of the brain that the blood flow is interrupted to, that causes different symptoms, and that's why no two stroke patients have the same impairments or the same effects.
Oh, that's interesting to know, because I know you hear stroke. Yeah, you know, you hear Heart and Stroke Foundation, you hear all these different things, but sometimes the technical details of understanding what it is are completely different. And I have heard a lot about the TIA or the mini stroke, but like you said, some people maybe think, oh, okay, well, it was just a TIA, just a mini stroke. This is not something to be sloughing off.
Absolutely. So we have people, in talking to patients, that they had these symptoms, their hands stopped working, or they suddenly couldn't speak, and oh, it's gone now, so that's fine. And we often will compare it to chest pain to a heart attack. So a chest pain is a sign that there is something wrong.
Yeah.
You go in and have it investigated, and hopefully you prevent a heart attack. And a mini stroke or a TIA is exactly the same thing to a stroke. It's a warning that something more devastating can happen in the future. In both of these cases, we would consider these to be medical emergencies, and we urge people to call 911 anytime, whether the symptoms are temporary or whether they're long-standing and it's an actual stroke.
Well, good to know, and make note of this, because I think this is the biggest thing about talking about these things is giving people the understanding that these are serious things, and we need to be taking note of these symptoms, because I think that's a big thing too, is knowing what's happening. When it comes to that, we talk about those two things. They have similar risk factors, similar symptoms. What are some of the risk factors that people should be aware of in their own daily lives?
Okay, so there's two types of risk factors. So the one is the non-modifiable risk factors, and those are things that you can't change. So your age, your gender, your nationality or your ethnicity. So those types of things you don't have control over. Things like but the modifiable risk factors are things that you can actually have some influence over. So diet. So maintaining a moderately to healthy diet. Keeping your weight at a reasonable level, getting enough exercise, as well as limiting or limiting and managing stress. We all have stress. It's not going away, but it's how we manage it that is important. Avoiding or quitting smoking. if you do smoke, as well as limiting or avoiding drug and alcohol use. We know that all of these things are do contribute to an increased risk of stroke. And along with that, so those are things that you can do in your everyday life. There are also some conditions that we know produce an increased risk of stroke. The number one risk factor for stroke is high blood pressure. It's proven. We know this for fact. Diabetes as well, high cholesterol, and as well as atrial fibrillation. That's where you have an irregular heart rate rhythm. So those four things are kind of the biggest risk factors. Just kind of doing, we keep track of in our clinic, which we'll talk about later. I just looked back at to see what kind of risk factors our patients in our former Sunrise Health Region area are coming in with. Over half of them had high blood pressure. And in some clinics, it was way more than half.
Yeah.
1 in 6 people had diabetes, and 1 in 6 people had high cholesterol. So, and those are fairly consistent with what the Health and Stroke or Heart and Stroke Foundation also have listed as prevalence on their website as well. Looking at the Heart and Stroke Foundation website, they do report that 9 in 10 Canadians have at least one risk factor for stroke currently. So whether they've had a stroke or not, they do have a risk factor. And almost 80% of premature stroke and heart disease can be prevented through healthy behaviors. So through, managing those risk factors, the diet, the exercise and that kind of thing.
Wow, there's a lot of things that when you talk about health, when we talk about different aspects of prevention, there's a lot that you can do in this to prevent a stroke from happening.
Absolutely. And I mean, going back to those chronic, those conditions like the high blood pressure and diabetes, a lot of those things, they contribute to many other diseases. Coronary artery disease is one, or heart disease.
Yeah.
It's also a big risk for stroke, and it's influenced by all those other things. So they're so interconnected. So just, you know, keeping as best control of your health as you can will help to reduce your risk of so many other conditions or things happening in the future, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, a lot we're taking in today as we are talking once again with Jody Athan, Interim Director of Integrated Primary Health Services with Saskatchewan Health Authority, and talking about stroke. Now, again, this has impacted my life for sure, because I know my mom had a stroke. And so you start to see the different things. And when you hear people talk about this, you start to think for yourself, wow, this is something I could do to prevent this. And now that, I'm healthy, I can make these choices to start moving in that direction. Now, obviously, when you start to be healthy, or when you're maybe in these circumstances, you realize maybe you have some of the risk factors. What are some of the signs that people can look for if they're worried about maybe having a stroke?
Okay, well, good question. So we would typically we encourage people to use what's called the FAST protocol, or the FAST assessment, and it's an acronym. So it stands for a couple of the symptoms that we look for. They're kind of the hallmark, very common symptoms. Yeah. So the F in FAST would be facial drooping. So if you ask a person to smile, or if you can see yourself, or however, if you're close to a mirror, is your face, one side of your face drooping? Are your eyebrows raising equally? So those kinds of things, looking for weakness in your face and the droop. The A would be arm and leg weakness. So if you lift both arms, are they both equal? Can they lift as high? Are they both equal strength? The S, it would be speech. So are there speech disturbances, any jumbled words? The person's not speaking clearly. Or is it slurred, or maybe they can't speak at all? And then the T just stands for time to call 911. We know there's a saying called that we say time is brain, because the longer you interrupt, the longer the blood flow is interrupted, the more of your brain cells are dying or at risk of dying. So time is of the essence when there's stroke symptoms present. That being said, there are other symptoms that, if there's anything going on, even if they last a short while, it's definitely best. Any type of weakness or any type of anything at all, It's best to get that checked out. These are just kind of the main symptoms that the Heart and Stroke Foundation encourages people to watch out for, and that we encourage people to watch for as well.
Well, it was interesting, you know, with my mom dealing with this, my dad woke up one day, we were visiting, and all of a sudden, you know, you see that the one side of his face was droopy. And so he said, oh, I don't know, I might have had a mini stroke overnight. I'm like, this isn't something you joke about. Now, he said that he had gone through that because he knew this from, you know, my mom, the whole fast, you know, he said that it was just the droopiness. So there was no other symptoms, but I still asked him to go to the hospital, get it checked out. You know, we can be stubborn sometimes and think that we know what's going on. Turns out it was Bell's palsy, but it was one of those things that you have different symptoms. You need to get them checked.
Absolutely. You know, we still see patients that they had these symptoms and they decided to lie down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because that's our first reaction is to, okay, rest. Something's not right, let's rest. But no, that's absolutely the wrong thing to do in this case. Don't drive. We recommend do not drive yourself to the hospital. Don't drive. Don't put your loved one in a vehicle and drive them. If you're seeing these symptoms, call 911. And the reason for that is, and we can go into that in a little bit later, but that our ambulance service, our EMS, they're trained to look for these signs.
Yep.
And if there are these signs are present, they are bringing you to the Yorkton Regional Health Center, which is a primary stroke center, that you will get the testing and the diagnosis as quickly as possible. So they're trained to recognize it and to manage it in that moment when you're still at home, rather than waiting and driving and maybe going to your local hospital and then realizing that it's possibly a stroke. So if these symptoms are there, do not wait. Call.
Well, and you talk about time. I think that's one of the things that if you are any symptoms of these at all, you know, don't feel stupid or don't feel, you know, hesitant. Go. There's no if it is, the time you've wasted could be detrimental.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you just go, then.
Absolutely. We would never fault people. That's always our suggestion or our encouragement is call and come in. And the worst that can happen is that it wasn't a stroke. We see some people that come in with the same, like your dad had the drooping of the face, and that is part of the fast.
Yep.
And it is Bell's palsy, but we would rather catch Bell's palsy than miss a stroke.
Exactly.
And the other thing we're seeing is that when we do have people coming in and they are referred to our stroke prevention clinic, we're actually picking up a lot of times on risk factors that those patients didn't know they had.
Oh.
So things like diabetes, things like their cholesterol's high that they may not have otherwise known.
Yeah.
And that, again, helps people to maybe make a change to control those risk factors.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know, talking about stroke. Now, I've heard acute stroke pathway mentioned in different ways. Not sure what that is, but tell us, what is this?
Okay, so it's the stroke pathway was created by health professionals in partnership with the Ministry of Health to establish a consistent process and protocol for fast, coordinated, and best practice care of stroke.
Okay.
So in the past, different regions, different provinces did different things, managed stroke in different ways. And in the last few years, Canada itself has come out with best practice guidelines, which actually some of our local leaders were involved in and consulted and helped to develop those. And then Saskatchewan has taken that, and all of our representatives from the regions have met, and we've tried to standardize the care as best as we can so that the care that someone's receiving in Swift Current is the same as Yorkton, is the same as North Battleford and Saskatoon and Regina. So that's kind of what the pathway is. It deals with, it starts when the person has symptoms all the way through the EMS and all the way into the hospital when they have their testing and the diagnosis and possible admission. So there's three kind of main areas that's involved in this pathway. The one change we've made is we have what's called a 12-hour window for transport to the Yorkton Regional Health Center.
Okay.
So we have what's called a stroke alert. So when you call 911 or when you, if you show up to the hospital, which we don't recommend, we recommend you call 911. But when that fast assessment, when those symptoms occur and the fast assessment is done and it's positive, you have some of those symptoms, we would call a stroke alert. And that means that you would now, if it's within 12 hours of you last being normal, what we called last seen normal with no symptoms, you are brought into the Yorkton Regional Health Center. Directly, no stopping at your local hospital. It's you go straight to Yorkton, and you have a CT or a CT, hopefully a CT angiogram, which is just a little bit more of a detailed CT scan that shows the vessels a little very clearly. The reason for the 12-hour window is it allows, first of all, it allows that to get in and have that diagnosis. But also, if there's something, if there's a case where you need to have a surgical intervention, that gives us time to get you to Saskatoon where that surgical procedure could take place. The other thing to mention is we do have a clot-busting drug. And so that can be administered within kind of the 4.5 hours of last seen normal. So we want you in as soon as we can, because if you're a candidate for that clot busting medication, we want to be able to administer it.
Yes. Now, I know that, you know, in my mom's circumstance, she had other medications that were, they had to make sure that they, you know, they knew were okay to give the clot busting drug. Are there certain things that people should know about or should kind of keep tabs on in that circumstance, or which medications?
Well, certainly we always encourage people to keep a list of medications with them, either written or, I mean, no, most people don't carry the entire bag with them, but for sure a written, the names and the dosage, and keep them on your person so that when you do come in, people know what the medical staff will know what you're taking. It's true. There's a list. It's a very serious medication. It does its job, and it's up to the medical professionals to decide if you're a candidate or not. And there are some medications that make you not appropriate for that for that medication. So there is some there's consideration that has to go on there. So for sure, keeping a list of your medications is very important.
Well, and that when you, again, we talk about time, you know, if you could save time in helping them to make that decision, it increases your chances of a full recovery in this.
That's right. Exactly.
You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. Once again, talking with Jody Yathan, Interim Director of Integrated Primary Health Services, talking about strokes. When it comes to the services in our area, what are services available for people either in these circumstances, maybe that have had stroke or maybe at a high risk for stroke?
Right. So we've already talked about the stroke pathway. So just knowing that when you call 911, or even if you happen to show up to the emergency room in Yorkton here, that it would be a stroke alert. So that kickstarts, you are the top priority, and you get into you get in and have your diagnostics, your tests, and all that kind of stuff very quickly. And then they can best determine if it was a stroke or if they're not, you know, whatever the case may be. All stroke alert patients are referred to the stroke prevention clinic. And that is a clinic we've had for the last couple of years. It's in the Yorkton Regional Health Center. And it's a telehealth appointment with a neurologist. Our neurologists are from the former Regina-Qualpell Health Region. We have weekly clinics. That you would meet, your appointment would be with the neurologist over the TV, and we have a nurse practitioner in the room with you. Referrals can be made, are usually made either from emergency, so through the stroke alert, or physicians or your healthcare provider can make those referrals in from the clinic as well. So those are kind of our two biggest referral sources. So you come in, you have your appointment, usually your tests, blood tests, and any other testing that has to get done. We try to have that done either before your appointment or on that same day as your neurologist appointment. And then if you are needed to be called back in for a follow-up, then you would follow up. Or in some cases, a neurologist can make the diagnosis at that point, and they can help you to manage those things that day. And if not, you would come back and meet with him again. The one thing about the clinic is it's, you know, it's allowed people to just save people from the travel. So in the past, before we had this clinic, people were still referred to the neurologist, but they would have to travel to Regina for that appointment. So this has allowed patients that maybe don't have a common transportation or don't drive or whatever to be able to see a neurologist from home, from our Yorkton site. So that's been a great success. We had biweekly appointments, and we found we had 293 patients referred last year.
Wow.
So in order to provide timely access to timely appointments for people, we've added that extra week. So now we have them weekly. So we've seen a lot of growth, and that, which is great. We know that the symptoms, people are out there.
Yep.
So seeing that recognition from patients, from the residents of our area, and also just from the providers to be sending those referrals. So that's been great. The other thing we have is if you are admitted to the hospital, we have acute care therapy services. So at the Yorkton Regional Health Center, we have physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language pathology. So if someone has someone's speech or swallowing is affected, there's some intervention services there. We also have access to social work that just helps with the education for stroke, as well as just social or support should the family or patient be needing that extra support. We have a stroke rehab inpatient unit. So that's located in the Josie House wing of the Yorkton District Nursing Home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been operating since 2009. It was the first element of our stroke services that we introduced. And it's three beds that are dedicated for stroke rehab, so inpatients. So prior to this, people, if they needed inpatient rehab services, would go to Regina or Saskatoon.
Mm-hmm.
And our stroke rehab unit is the first inpatient stroke unit outside of those big centers in Saskatchewan. So it's been very successful. So again, we have physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language pathology, we have therapy assistants and social workers, as well as a nursing complement. So there's a full range of services there for the people who need that inpatient rehab services.
Mm-hmm.
And then another program that we do offer is stroke prevention education sessions. So those were originally designed for people who've had a TIA, a mini stroke, to be able to come in and get some information on how to modify those risk factors to prevent an actual stroke.
Mm-hmm.
It's offered by telehealth.
Yep.
So every site in the former Sunrise Health region that has telehealth in their facility can sign up, and they can go to their home site and hear the presentation. We talk there's a nurse and a physiotherapist, a social worker, a dietitian. So there's lots of information to get. It just talks about the risk factors and how to modify those. And we offer it, it's offered to the public. So even if you haven't had a stroke or a TIA and you just want that information, you can, it's open to you as well. So you can sit in on it as many times as you want, wanted to come back. And then the other good thing that we've been doing a lot more of is linking with the Healthy Living program in the primary health care team.
Mm-hmm.
So they offer a lot of services that directly address those risk factors that we know are increasing risk of stroke. So the diabetes education team, the cardiac and pulmonary rehab program, they have an exercise therapist, they have the primary health care nursing, and they all also offer other education and chronic condition management programs to live well with chronic conditions, live well with chronic pain. So we're linking with, we know our patients have risk factors, so we try to link them up with those community services, so that our ultimate goal would be to empower patients to manage their own health, ask questions, be involved in that to try to reduce that risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been very informative today hearing about the different things that go with stroke. Two things I've taken away from this. Prevention is huge, obviously, knowing where the risk factors are, making sure you're in good health. You can limit the risk of stroke in that. But two is urgency. When you think that you've had a stroke, or there's the possibility even you've got a symptom, not just go to the hospital, like you said, call 911. This is one of those circumstances where they're trained and they can actually help start that process ahead of time.
Absolutely. I think that's one of our biggest take homes is recognizing the symptoms. People often aren't recognizing. It's you're looking for facial droop, you're looking for weakness, any type of speech anomaly, speech disturbance, yeah, whether it's 5 minutes or longer, and calling 911 because it's at the very least, you might be preventing something more catastrophic from happening. Absolutely. So identifying symptoms and calling 911.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being here today. It's been very informative. If people have more information they want to find out, how can they do that?
Okay. So they can probably call me, 786-0178. I'd be happy to answer any questions or direct your question to the most appropriate person.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for being here. Anything else you'd like to say before we wrap things up?
No, I think it's just I would encourage everybody to, again, just look into, do some research, do some, check out the Heart and Stroke Foundation website. Saskatchewan.ca has more information on our acute stroke pathway and just being informed and being as prepared as you can.
Wonderful. Thank you again for being here. Great to talk with you and look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Once again, Jody Athan, Interim Director of Integrated Primary Health Services with the Saskatchewan Health Authority. That is it for us for today. Coming up next, it is the All Request Lunch. Have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.